Our text for consideration this morning is recorded for us in the book of Luke, chapter 7, beginning with the 44th verse. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her head, the head of her hair. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Christ Jesus, the friend of sinners, the fellow redeemed. God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours through your friend Jesus. Amen. When Chaplain Molstad, he was just talking to me about how he got confused with the president sometimes, and there I make the same mistake. When he called me and asked me to preach on the 11th, I sort of vaguely knew it was the 11th of September, but it wasn't until I actually sat down to prepare for this sermon that I realized it's the 11th of September, that day that has gone down in infamy in the history of the United States. And though I may have forgotten the connection at first, as soon as I made it, images started to flood my mind. The tower standing there with that huge hole in it and that black billowing smoke pouring out of it on that contrast of the blue sky. The sad images of seeing men and women despair and jump to their death. The image of that huge cloud of dust spreading out and people fleeing for their lives, running in hope that they would survive. And maybe many images flood your mind too in connection to that day. But there's another image that is indelibly etched in my mind, and that is of people crying. People hugging each other and crying with tears dripping down, their dust-covered faces turning that dust to mud. Many of them would have been crying tears of sadness, tears of terror and horror. But mixed in there amongst the survivors, there were also tears of joy, because they were survivors. Our text today would bring another tower crashing down for us. The tower of men's pride. In our text, we see a contrast between two groups of people. The Pharisees, Simon is the focal point. He was the host of the feast, and that of the sinful woman. In the verses before our reading, we're told that Simon invited Jesus to the feast. And that when he saw the woman come in, who was known as a sinner, and stand at Jesus' feet and begin to weep and wet his feet and wash his feet with her tears, and then wipe them with her hair, Simon concluded that Jesus was not a prophet. If he were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what type of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Simon had a huge tower of pride. A huge tower that would not let him truly fellowship with the Savior of sinners. And Jesus tried to bring that tower down. And so he drew out the contrast between their actions. In our text he says, Simon, see this woman? Knowing his thoughts, seeing this woman who has lived such a sinful life, look at the things that she is doing, and the things that you have failed to do. You didn't wash my feet as is customary, but she has wet my feet with her tears. You didn't even have a slave dry my feet, but she has dried them with her hair. You didn't honor me by anointing my head with oil, but she has taken expensive perfume and poured it on my feet. You did not greet me, as is the custom of those who are honored, with a kiss. But she has not stopped kissing my feet. Look at her acts of love. Acts of love from this one that you despise. And compare them to your acts. He was trying to tear down Simon's tower of pride. And maybe that tower is present in your life too, where you look and judge others because they're not as good or as holy as you. But I dare say that your place is not with Simon. It's at the feet of Jesus. For if God were to make public all our sins, who would stand before him as holy and just? If God were to make our sins public, wouldn't we too take our place with the sinner and simply be crying at Jesus' feet? Now, there are many reasons for tears when sin is exposed. There can be tears of shame. That really is just pride disguised. I'm so sad that my reputation is ruined, that people won't look at me the same way anymore. The tower of pride is still standing in that person. It may be that their tears of lost opportunity, in the sense that now my life is ruined. What am I going to do? But that's not true sorrow of a sin either. Those two are just sorry because they've sinned against themselves in some way. They've worked some harm to themselves. This woman stood at Jesus' feet because she had ruined her life, yes. She had ruined her reputation. But her chief sorrow was not that she had sinned against herself, but that she had sinned against God. And so she came to his feet, weeping over the sins, the grievous acts that she had done against him. So don't play down the guilt of your sins. Don't take them from a human perspective, lest the tower of pride remain in your life. Acknowledge that you have sinned against God, and you owe Him your very life for that. And then run to Jesus' feet. Just think, in just a little while, in comparison to the history of the world, those feet would soon be pierced with nails in payment for the sins of that woman who stood there, and in payment for your sins and mine. Those precious feet of Jesus suffered and were given into death because we have sinned against God. And He loves us. Otherwise, He wouldn't have died for us. And He wants to build us anew. And that's really what He was doing to this woman. Notice the last words, or the words of the last verses of our text. There she was, beaten down, even despised openly by Simon. Then Jesus makes this wonderful comparison of, look at her acts of love. She must be forgiven, because only one who is forgiven, only one who trusts in Jesus, can love the way that she is loving. And then those words that just lifted her up out of the pit of despair. Turning to her, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then the very last words recorded that Jesus spoke to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What type of a life did she have to look forward to? Now that she knew that the Savior of the world had forgiven all her sins, now that she had heard from His very lips that forgiveness pronounced before all people, she could truly go forward in peace and leave her life of sin. And so too you may be here this morning, crushed by the guilt of your sin. And these words of Jesus that He spoke to this sinner are just as true for you. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. To God be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.